So if you want those opportunities, what you need to do is essentially go around the recruiter, get in front of the employer before they know that they need you. So you're not being compared against those 200 other applicants. You're purely being assessed on your own key achievements and transferable skills. And that is really where the gold lies. That is the fastest way and the most assured way to be able to make those transitions either into more senior jobs or to move across industries.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Looking Forward, opportunities for job, career, business, and investment seekers. If that describes you, then this is the podcast for you. If you're a freelancer, a startup or small business, a well-established company, a nonprofit, or even someone thinking about a second or possibly a third career, this is for you too. You see, here in Looking Forward, we focus on global trends in the future, but most importantly, on the opportunities they're creating. Our guest experts will not only tell you about those opportunities, they will also give you some tips to help you take the first steps toward capitalizing on them. I'm your host, Jeff Ostroff. Hi, everyone. Do you know the best strategies to land a good job in today's job market? If that's of interest to you, you'll definitely want to hear what my guest expert, Richard Trigg, says. While Richard's focus today will be on finding a job as a senior executive, you'll find much of what he speaks about is applicable to almost every job and career seeker. So get ready for some great insights and tips. To learn more about Richard, listen to the episode and check the show notes. And please, don't forget to give us feedback about this or any other Looking Forward episode. Now, before we get started, I want to say a few words about our sponsor, SupaPass. Do you make podcasts, video courses, or other content? Well, that means you need your own engaging website and mobile app for everything you make. And SupaPass can help. Turn your followers into superfans and paid customers. Elevate your brand with your own stunning website and mobile app. And with SupaPass, it's never been easier. SupaPass is the most powerful content app maker on the market. And now, you can try it for free. Or like me, you can be on one of their other plans. Enter code LOOKINGFORWARD, all one word, all caps, looking forward, and get a 10% lifetime discount on any of their plans. Go to superpass.com. That's super with an A, superpass.com. And hey, if you want us to mention your organization on the show, please contact us for more details. Okay, let's get started. Well, hi, Richard. Welcome to Looking Forward, opportunities for job, career, business, and investment seekers.
Hi, Jeff. Thank you very much for the invitation. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Thank you. I appreciate your being up early. Maybe not for you, but it would be for me to do this. Richard is coming to us from Australia, and he's got a topic that I am very excited to have him discuss with us today because it does affect a lot of people. It may not affect them even necessarily now, but it's something that they might eventually find of great interest. So, Richard, let's get started by letting people know that you're an expert on finding job and career opportunities for senior level executives. I'm curious, and I think our listeners would be curious to know, how is it and why is it that you first got involved in something like this?
Okay, great. Well, I went to high school in Brisbane. I was originally born in Canada, actually, but my parents escaped the cold and moved to Australia. And when I finished high school, I had grand aspirations of being a rock and roll star. So I toured Australia playing guitar in bands for about 4 years, came to a realization that making a living as a musician was tough. So I went back to university and did a degree in marketing and human resources. And then I worked in a corporate career, initially in sales, moving into operations for some predominantly building services companies. And when I was in my early 30s, I decided to go back to university and do an executive MBA. And like most people who do MBAs, started to think, what do I want to do when I grow up? And I went to see a recruiter that I'd been a client of. And this recruiter said to me, oh, Richard, have you ever thought about actually joining the recruitment industry? And so, like most people, I just fell into it. And I worked for what was at the time the biggest recruitment company in the world, then called TMP Worldwide, now called Hudson. Worked for them for a year, decided that I loved recruitment, didn't enjoy the big corporate global culture, went and worked for a smaller boutique Brisbane firm for about 5 years. And then I started my own business on the 1st of February, 2009, the height of the GFC. Many were saying, Richard, you're crazy to start a recruitment company in the GFC. But here we are almost 15 years later, having been through pandemics and all kinds of weird and wonderful and challenging times. But we've lived to tell a story.
Fascinating. One of the things that I learned about Richard, by the way, before we went on the air, so to speak, is he actually took guitar lessons from a guitarist from the Little River Band, which is a terrific band out of Australia for some of you who remember them. So he was a pretty serious guitarist back in the day. And I do relate to and enjoy hearing about how you didn't find your calling initially, but after a given period of time, you did. And that's something that I think a lot of people find to be the case. And I think for younger people, it's important for them to realize too that it may not be the first thing that they do that really resonates with them. And that's what happened with you here, getting involved with executive recruiting.
And not only that, I think for younger people, they will have careers that haven't even been invented yet.
For sure. Yes, I certainly remember the global financial crisis. That was a good acronym that you had there. Looking forward, as you may know, Richard, is in part about trends.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're focusing on senior executives and both the demand for them and the hiring of them, can you highlight a few trends in that area?
Sure. Well, I suppose one of the biggest things that's impacted the recruitment industry in, say, the last 10 years or so, maybe last 15 years, is LinkedIn. And so LinkedIn, which originally started as a tool to enable people to reconnect with former colleagues and, you know, friends from university and so on, a social media type platform, soon became seen by recruiters as essentially a live database. Historically, recruiters would specialize in a particular area because they needed to invest in time to build out a database of people with a particular qualification. Well, now, if 98-99% of white-collar professionals globally have, or certainly within first world countries, have LinkedIn profiles, then that's had a huge impact on the ability to identify and source talent. So I'll talk about it from both perspectives. From the employer's perspective, they are now able to utilize a tool called LinkedIn Recruiter, and using either an in-house recruitment capability or a third-party recruiter like my business, able to reach out directly to candidates or employees of choice, locally, nationally, internationally. It really makes no difference. So to give you an example, recently we were retained by a US company who are the biggest, I'm not sure if they're the manufacturer, but the biggest distributor of ginger in the US. So an agribusiness with a facility in their head office in California. And so they asked us to recruit them a chief financial officer for a role in America. So in Brisbane, we were able to identify and directly approach and engage talent for that role, even though it was on the complete other side of the world.
Wow.
So that's been a massive change. And then on the other side of the coin, from a candidate's perspective, as a job seeker, one of the things I talk about in my book and I talk about regularly is the fact that 80% plus of the great jobs never get to a recruiter. They never get advertised. They're filled through the hidden job market. So that means employers are hiring people that can solve their problems and take away their pain before they even go to the market. So what LinkedIn is allowing candidates to do, the job seeker, is to think about who are the companies that I'd like to work for? Within those companies, who is the key decision maker that would make a decision on whether I would be hired or not? And then again, using LinkedIn, reach out directly to the employer. And so that's fundamentally and irrevocably changed the recruitment industry. Let's say that one of my employers was, pick a name, any name, Apple. Historically, if I wanted to work there, I might have to think, who do I know that might know somebody that knows somebody at Apple? Well, now I can just get on LinkedIn. I can look at Apple's executive leadership team. I can say, okay, my role would most likely report through to this person. And I can approach them immediately and directly, essentially asking for a meeting to sell myself. So LinkedIn has been an absolute game changer. Now, obviously, ChatGPT and artificial intelligence is going to be the next wave of that. But I think it's too early to really predict, you know, what impact AI will have on the job market.
Yes. I want to comment on what you said. For me personally, in my first career, LinkedIn really wasn't even a factor. It barely existed. But the jobs that I got, almost every single one of them was a job that either I found that wasn't even advertised or I created myself to work either for myself or with somebody else, some other company. So I can relate to this hidden job market thing. What I want to ask you about in terms of trends is, what about demand? You're talking a little bit about the hiring and the finding. How has the demand not necessarily changed, but what are some trends or a trend related to demand for senior level executives?
Right. Well, I think that one of the more recent ones, obviously with COVID, has been people's ability to work remotely. And so candidates are now more demanding in terms of being able to have the flexibility to be able to work from home at least part of the time. So pre-COVID, if we were approaching a candidate about a role, they might say, oh, look, it'd be nice if I could work from home maybe one day a fortnight. Now candidates are saying, unless I can work from home 3 days a week, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the other thing that's happening from a trend point of view is as technology is taking more and more jobs away, it's meaning that organizations are able to really reconsider how they are running their business from a human capital point of view in order to benefit from the efficiencies of technology. So, for example, if you look at the legal industry, a lot of the traditional work that lawyers do, precedents and creating contracts and those kind of things, is now easily done by AI. So that will have a huge impact on the number of people who can have a career in the law. We're seeing it in medicine. We're seeing it in, you know, driverless trucks and, you know, so many of these industries that have absorbed so many people in the past are no longer going to. So it's a very interesting time because employers are talking about a war for talent. They're saying in this post-COVID environment, it is hard to attract and retain good people. And on the other side of the coin, a lot of those traditional roles that people would have worked in are being removed. So I think we're at a sort of a crossroads trying to understand and predict what that looks like in even the next 5 years, let alone 10 years, I think is quite hard.
In terms of numbers, would you say that based on what you just said, that the number of senior executive positions is actually fewer than it might have been pre-COVID, before we were using all this remote technology? Or is it about the same?
In my experience, and granted, you know, I run a small boutique search firm, I would say it's probably the same. A lot of the roles that are being automated are not in the senior executive level.
Okay.
But then the other thing to think about, and certainly in Australia, we have an aging population. There are far less younger people coming into the job market. And also at the same time, people are working until they're older. So sure, what we're seeing is people, you know, having much more longevity in their careers. And those people who are able to reach that executive level, I mean, I can't speak for the US, although I'm sure it would be the case there. It's not uncommon to have people sitting on boards who are in their 80s.
Yeah.
It's not uncommon to have people in senior executive roles who are in their late 60s. So when I first joined the recruitment industry 20-odd years ago, it was pretty unusual to have somebody still working in a full-time job delivering great outcomes when they're 65-plus, whereas it's very common now.
Yeah, I believe that. And several years ago, I wrote a book about the 50-plus population And I foresaw, I actually predicted that people were going to be working longer. They were going to leave work and come back. Now they're not even leaving, they're staying. But I predicted people would retire and then get back in. And that's also happening. We are a globally focused podcast. And part of that is evidenced by the fact that you're in Australia and I'm in North America. You gave one example there about how you were helping a company find senior executive talent, somebody in the United States, a company in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
The trends that you were speaking about, and you spoke about several, Richard, are they pretty much operating the same way around the world? Or do you find any significant differences between one area of the world and maybe another area of the world in terms of senior executive recruitment?
So historically, in the space of global search or global executive search, there are five big brands. They call them the Shrek brands: Spencer Stuart, Heidrick Struggles, Russell Reynolds, Egon Zehnder, Korn Ferry. The initials spelled Shrek. And so these companies would have said, and still do say, if you want us to do international search work for you, we need 74 offices in 47 countries, and we need to have big research teams, because it's very hard to identify people. It's very hard to engage with them. That's why we're going to charge you, you know, a very, very high recruitment fees. Well, essentially, their value proposition is largely gone now, because no longer need 74 offices in 47 countries. People are very comfortable talking on Zoom and Teams. They're very comfortable being approached about opportunities. A Brisbane company approaching an American about a job in America would have been unheard of, you know, 5-10 years ago. Now it's fairly commonplace. But I think that, you know, coming back to what you spoke about earlier, Jeff, which is so true, if I talk to senior executives and I say, let's look at your CV, and out of the last, say, 4 or 5 jobs you've had, how many of those jobs have come from applying for an advertisement on a job board? And most of them say either none or maybe 1 in 5. So I don't think anything has really changed in that regard. I also think that whether you're in the UK or the US or Japan, or people like to employ people that they know and trust. Also, people like to do work that they're good at. So whilst LinkedIn has been a way of perhaps accelerating or making it more easy for candidates and clients to connect together for job opportunities, fundamentally, it's no different to your own experience, Jeff, or my experience in terms of how my career unfolded as well.
Yeah. The only other thing I want to ask you before we jump into opportunities, Richard, is the demand for senior executives different in different parts of the world? Like, is there a great demand for senior executives in Australia? Not so much in India and somewhat in the United States? Or is it hard to parse that out?
Difficult for me to talk about countries like India or China, because I don't really have the cultural experience. Sure. But certainly what I would say in your traditional Western countries, executives, organizations always need executives. Organizations, when they're going through good times, need executives to be able to put the foot on the accelerator and reap the greatest potential. Organizations going through bad times or in a bad economy or something like the global financial crisis or the issues we had dealing with COVID, organizations need senior executives to help them through and ensure that the company survives and then hopefully goes on to thrive. So I think that really, irrespective of where you are in the world, the demand and opportunity for senior executives is high. One of the things that is quite different, you know, as if I give, say, Australia versus the US as a comparison, in the US, it's kind of taken for granted that if you want to be at mid-level leadership or above, you need to go back to university and do an MBA. You need to have formal qualifications. Whereas in Australia, Australia is very much about real world key achievements and transferable skills. We don't care so much about university qualifications. You might need to go to university to get an accounting degree to start your career as an accountant, but there's very little requirement, formal requirement, to go back to university in the Australian context. Then if you look at the Indian context or even the Chinese context, a lot of people are getting MBAs before they even have a job. I think that sort of reliance on education and what that education will enable or what doors it will open for you can be quite different in different countries.
I find that very interesting.
I really hope you're enjoying this episode so far. If you are, can you please do me a small favor? Let some of your family members, friends, or others in your network know about it and about Looking Forward, opportunities for job, career, business, and investment seekers. And hey, if you happen to like this podcast, my interviewing approach, or maybe even my voice, please consider checking out some of the many services my business provides. These include podcast hosting, creation and consulting, voiceovers, professional interviewing, production of audio or video profiles to help you sell your business, promote your services, increase your customers, or raise funding, and services to help you market to the large and growing seniors population. That's something I've actually written a book about. To learn more, please visit www.jeff-ostroff.com. You can also email me at jeff@jeff-ostroff.com. Now let's get back to this episode of Looking Forward, opportunities for job, career, business, and investment seekers.
Richard, the primary focus of Looking Forward is on opportunities. And we're talking today about senior level executives. Based on your expertise, your experience, to find a job as a senior executive, you talked about LinkedIn. You talked about the hidden job market. So how would I know, first of all, if I'm qualified to even become a senior executive? Maybe I'm already a senior executive and I want to move some other place. I would be looking to find something. What are some things you've learned that relate to both of those?
Well, I think that the first thing is to be looking at your career from the perspective of how likely is it that my career or my role could be replaced by artificial intelligence at any time in the near future. And if it can be, then probably you need to think about, well, what can I do to future-proof myself so that that is not the case? I think it was Malcolm Gladwell who talked about there are three different personality types of people who are very successful in business. I can't remember, I read it a little while ago, but one of them was to become a knowledge expert. So to have such deep knowledge about your particular niche profession that you are protected because you just know so much. The second one is nothing beats reaching out to people that you admire that could perhaps mentor you or even champion you into these opportunities because people love to help people. So what I say to when I'm talking to senior executives, and I've written a book, it's called Uncover the Hidden Job Market, it's to start to reach out to those people and say, I'd really appreciate it if you could help me. I'd love to have a 15-minute conversation with you on Zoom or Teams. I'd love to get your advice about the market and where you think the right opportunities may be for me. People love to help people, and they love to be able to give back through their advice. So the biggest challenge or frustration, I suppose, I find is that a lot of people who I offer this advice to, they don't have the courage to actually take it on. So they go, oh, why would I reach out to Jeff? He's obviously a really busy guy. You know, I don't want to annoy him. I don't think he'd want to talk to me. And so they don't do it. But the reality is what people who start to do this quickly realize is that the success in getting in front of these people, especially now that we can do it on Zoom and Teams, is very, very high. So how would I know if I'm ready or have the requisite skills? Well, go and ask. Ask the people who are in the jobs that you want. Can you give me some feedback? What do you think? How else could I upskill myself? What are the kind of attributes you'd like to see if you were considering me for these opportunities? And then obviously the next thing is to say, if I could support you in your business to help to solve your problems and take away your pain, remove that pebble from your shoe, would that be of value to you? And That is how you create these opportunities. Recruiters, I say, recruiters are lazy and stupid. If they put an ad up on a job board in Australia, the predominant one is called Seek, and they get 200 applicants, it's probably only the 10 squarest pegs for the 10 squarest holes that are going to be brought forward for interview. The other 190 people are going to be told, thanks, but no thanks. So even if you've got excellent ability, great key achievements, the ability to transfer and do a wonderful job in those roles, it's very hard for the recruiter to pay attention to you because the recruiter is being paid by the employer to put the square peg in the square hole. So if you want those opportunities, what you need to do is essentially go around the recruiter, get in front of the employer before they know that they need you, so you're not being compared against those 200 other applicants. You're purely being assessed on your own key achievements and transferable skills. And that is really where the gold lies. That is the fastest way and the most assured way to be able to make those transitions either into more senior jobs or to move across industries.
Very good information. Just one quick follow-up question on this. What is it, at a minimum, I'll say, that differentiates somebody who would be looking for a middle management position versus somebody who is qualified for and looking for or wants to look for a senior executive position?
Oh, well, I mean, the easy answer to that is experience. You know, the person moving into those senior leadership roles will have most likely have been through those middle management roles already. So, and it, you know, one of the wonderful things about us getting older is that there's less urgency. So it was only probably 100 years ago that our life expectancy was massively less, and probably only in Australia, and I'm not sure about in the US, people retiring at 55.
Yes.
Well, now, if you're not going to retire until you're 75, that's another entire 20 years. So rather than being in a hurry to climb the corporate ladder as quickly as possible, it means you can take your time, have a greater variety of experiences, enjoy it along the way, you know, have more work-life flexibility, et cetera, rather than thinking I have to rush to getting into that senior executive role. Going back to the MBA conversation, a lot of people are sold on doing an MBA because they think, oh, if I do an MBA, it's going to allow me to leapfrog over those mid-level roles and get immediately into senior executive. Well, that's certainly not been my experience at all. And I speak about it as somebody with an MBA. So I'm not in any way, you know, denying the quality of the education, but it's not an accelerator.
Yeah, very good. Richard, you touched on this quite a bit earlier, but if you could just maybe say a teeny bit more about it. We look into the future with looking forward. That's part of the name, right? Looking forward. But we're only looking through the rest of this decade. You talked about AI, and we don't know where things are going to go. Maybe there's going to be fewer jobs out there because of it. Maybe there'll be more, but there'll be different kinds of jobs. In terms of senior executives specifically, any quick thoughts about the rest of the decade?
Yeah, look, as you just said, Jeff, it's probably too early to predict with AI what impact it will have. Although certainly I'd be suggesting that to the best of our abilities, we need to be on the front of the curve to know what's going on and to see how it can apply to our work. But if we just talk about LinkedIn, because I think it is really where senior executives and organizations are hanging out, for want of a better term. There's a term in marketing, it's called the zero moment of truth. So if I'm buying a new car and I go to a car yard and I see the car, drive the car, buy the car, that is the first moment of truth. But all of the research that I do online, reading reviews, watching demonstrations, looking at the website and so on, all of that research to get me to the car yard is the zero moment of truth. It's exactly the same from a career's point of view. If you want the best opportunities, everybody who is going to meet with you, whether that's a future employer, a recruiter, an employee, a supplier, a contractor, et cetera, everybody is looking at your LinkedIn profile. So it's absolutely imperative that your LinkedIn profile promotes you as a fantastic person, not only by clearly articulating your career history and your qualifications, but also those key achievements and transferable skills. That is what's going to get employers excited about bringing you forward for opportunities. On the other side of the coin, it's the same thing as an employer. If you want to attract the best quality of talent, you need to make sure that when those employees look at your LinkedIn profile or look at your company website, they are excited about working for you as an employer of choice. They're excited about your ability to mentor and develop them to their full potential. So few people put the attention on how they position themselves, whether it's on a company website as an employer or on LinkedIn. And yet the opportunity through doing that is so fantastic, almost free to do and very easy to do. So that would be a big takeaway, I'd say. Think about your personal brand and your employer of choice brand and how you can articulate that. What a fantastic way to do it, either to have a podcast or be a guest on a podcast, to write some articles, to do things that are going to amplify your voice and make you stand out from the crowd.
It's great stuff. Fantastic tips from you, Richard, and insights about what's happening in the world of senior executive recruitment. And some of that is certainly applicable to whether somebody's looking for a senior level job or not. I wanted to have you let everybody know how they can learn more about you, about the Arete Executive. You've written one, now soon two books. You have a podcast. How do they find out about all this stuff?
Well, obviously LinkedIn is, I'm very loud and proud on LinkedIn. So certainly if you look for Richard Triggs on LinkedIn, you'll find me. LinkedIn allows you to have a maximum of 30,000 connections. I'm sitting constantly at around 29,000. So wow. If I suddenly get, 5,000 people wanting to connect with me on LinkedIn, I probably won't be able to do that because I'm full. But by the same token, you can certainly message me there. My business, Arete Executive, is we're based in Brisbane. We certainly recruit regularly across all of Australia and occasionally in other English-speaking countries, the US, the UK, Canada, South Africa, etc. And then my podcast is on Spotify and Apple iTunes. My books are on Amazon. If anybody is interested in getting a copy of my book, Uncover the Hidden Job Market, if you go to my website, you'll be able to download a copy of that for free. I didn't write that book to make money. I wrote it as a way of being of service. And even though I'm, an Australian, I've had many, many executives, many people from the US tell me that what they've learned through reading my book has assisted them in their job search. So please feel free to go to our website. You can get that for free. My new book is called Winning the War for Talent, How to Attract and Retain Top Performers. If you, again, come to my website and you sign on for our newsletter and so on, you'll be able to get a copy of that book for free as well.
Wow. That's wonderful that you're making the one book available to people for free. I think that's terrific. And you certainly are very well connected. You are a connector. 29,000 connections. I don't think I'm going to live long enough to get to 29,000.
You'd be surprised if you put your mind to something, how quickly you can achieve it.
I guess you can. Richard, thank you so much for being on the show, for sharing your expertise. It's been wonderful having you on Looking Forward, Opportunities for Job, Career, Business, and Investment Seekers.
It's been a wonderful opportunity. Thank you, Jeff. And I look forward to remaining part of your community and a listener in the years to come.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Looking Forward, Opportunities for Job, Career, Business, and Investment Seekers. I hope you've enjoyed it and will benefit from it. And if you did like it, please share this episode with anyone you know who you think might also find it of value. And if you have any comments or questions about Looking Forward, or any suggestions for future topics or guest experts, you can reach me at the website www.jeff-ostroff.com or through my email address, jeff@jeff-ostroff.com. Thanks.